Well, again, I guess what they, so again, my name is Greg Hallich. Probably most of you have not seen me before. I'm an ag economist, one of those individuals on the dark side of campus that you don't usually get to interact with a whole lot. I'm here today essentially to try to put profitability figures to a lot of what the other speakers have been talking about, so I'll do the best I can there. Also want to say, you know, obviously I appreciate the opportunity to be here just professionally, but even more so just from a personal interest. I'm a, what they call a farm management economist. That just means I can do a lot of different things. I kind of get pulled in all different directions, but grazing systems is really a passion of mine, and hopefully you'll see that here. So anyways, thanks to Chris and the rest of the committee for having me here. All right, I always like to start out just talk about biases because, you know, whether or not we really want to believe in it, we all have some, and that's going to color our analysis a little bit. So I just want to quickly go through and tell, you know, show you what mine may be, and maybe even more importantly, show those have changed going from continuous to rotational. So what I want to show you is there are two farms that I run cattle on. This is where I live, and this is I've just done continuous grazing here. It's a hill farm. That's one of the main reasons. In the back here, I really don't have a good water source. So just from a couple different standpoints, I just haven't done rotational grazing there. Also, I travel a lot. I'm primarily extension-based. So there are a number of reasons why I've just done continuous grazing. Had fairly good success with it, except kind of you get into late summer here. And, you know, I'm not an agronomist here. I play one on my spare time. So I'm not going to try to go into details that you obviously know a lot better than me, but where the arrow is there, that's you can't really see it obviously from back there, but there are small clover seedlings here, the red or the dino. And I always seed a little bit of that in there. And it usually does wonderfully. It comes up in the early spring, mid-spring, have really good production. But darn, those cattle just seem to graze everyone that pops up. And by late summer, they just don't seem to persist that well. So just kind of quickly my observations. Again, it's fairly easy for me to get clover established, but it's really hard to maintain it in that continuous grazing system. As a result, kind of the wild white clover is my main legume. You know, it's real short. It's hard for them to get to. Doesn't have real high production, unfortunately. And I'm sure, as all of you are aware, you get a lot of bare spots by midsummer. Those areas that they start grazing really well early in spring and just keep grazing them on and on. As a result, you really have a slowdown in production late summer. Oops. This is the other farm I run cattle on. So, you know, the soil's a little bit better. Just the way it was situated, it had a number of different paddocks already established. Also, I've got a friend that's helping me with this farm. So we just decided to do rotational grazing here. It's the first year I've done it, but I'd just like to show you some quick results. So, again, my bias was probably coming in this last year was continuous grazing was doing just fine. This is my high-tech seeding operation. This is actually my brother who visited in mid-April. Obviously, wasn't ideal. Should have been done before that. I had a lot of acres to cover, but it actually turned out fairly well. This is late April. You know, the one thing I like about rotational grazing, you can hit those paddocks. You really want to graze down low in this case because I had a Lespedeza seedling here that I really wanted to come up, so I wanted to hammer it hard late April. You can get that really good impact, grazing impact, if you want it, which I did here again late April. Now on the right side of the fence, this is that Lespedeza seedling, or seeding, it's probably around June 10th, 15th, probably about June 15th right here. You can kind of see the difference on both sides of the fence. On the left side of the fence, I wasn't able to get cattle in there. That was a rented pasture, so really wasn't able to control that vegetation. This is that same Lespedeza seeding about 3 weeks later, around July 10th. You can see it's just a beautiful, the best stand by far that I've ever had. Never had anything close to it with continuous grazing. That water bottle that's pointing to is about 8 inches tall, so that Lespedeza was about 10 to 12 inches kind of on average here. Again, it had nothing close to that in 5 years of continuous grazing. This is late September. This is a different field that I seed in the red and ladino clover. It had been grazed down a couple times. Again, I've never had anything close to this in terms of a clover seeding, not even remotely close to it. And I've got about 15 acres that looks almost identical to that right there, or did before the cattle hit it. So again, kind of my observations here, it's fairly easy to, you know, nothing new here for you guys, but it was for me. It's fairly easy to establish a clover, but more importantly, it's easy or relatively easy to maintain it. Towards the end of the season, I saw that forage quality was a lot higher, I guess what Rob and others are talking about. Maybe even more importantly, there's just very few bare spots. You know, fairly uniform grazing, and so I get a lot better summer production versus that continuous grazing that I've been doing. So anyways, just kind of how my biases may have changed here in this last year. I also want to point out that those results that I had with the legumes, that was what most people call very loose rotational grazing. My stay times are anywhere from 4 on the shortest to about 21 days on the 18-acre pasture I have there. The average is probably about 7 to 10 days, which, again, some people may not even call that really an intense form of management, but I just had wonderful results. So anyways, just very quickly, how my bias changed here. Now, this is in Missouri. This is in Rob's state. In fact, he met with us when I was out there. We were out there for a number of reasons, for grass-finished beef, but in this case, it was a mob grazing, and I see he's nodding and smiling at the same time. I'm not going to say whose farm this was, but depending on what side of the fence you're on here, he was probably either, you consider him famous, or if you're like Rob, maybe infamous. I'm not quite sure. But anyways, it was a wake-up for me. So this was a field, wasn't, you know, obviously hasn't been grazed yet. I think he said that this was grazed once in late April. It was early August, I think early to mid-August when we're visiting. So obviously a lot of herbage accumulation here. Went down, he gave us a tour on soil nematodes, which I didn't really know much about until that time period. But as you can see, there's obviously a lot of forage production, but also a lot of dead dry matter in here. The cattle are grazing here. It's a mix of cows, stockers, and finishing animals. A closer view, again, a lot of herbage, but you see a lot of dead material. So my question at the time is, my goodness, if we're forcing those growing animals to eat that down, what kind of gains are we going to get? And if we force them to eat it down like this, you know, my contention was I just can't imagine that on those stocker and finishing animals that we're going to have really good gains compared to a good rotational system. But that's for you guys to answer, right, in terms of what those are. All right, so these are my guesses. You know, not even my personal work on a farm, but just, again, I cannot imagine compared to rotational grazing, at least for performance-type animals, so stockers, finishing animals, how you're going to get very good gains, you know, especially if we're forcing to really dig down into that sward, which is one of the minor standings of mob grazing. We're going to either make them eat or trample it. It's probably fine for cows in many situations. Again, don't know that for sure, but it's certainly going to be a lot better nutritional-wise versus stocker-type animals. All right, so that's kind of introduction. Now we'll get to the profitability analysis here. For good or bad, I probably go maybe into too much detail in terms of assumptions, but I do that for a couple reasons. Mainly, if you don't really know what I'm putting into my assumptions, you really don't know, you know, how much weight you're going to put in my analysis. So I'll spend a little time with that. The way I'm going to present it, we're going to look at a few different tables. They're going to be a matrix form, and I'll show you this fairly quickly. But essentially, you're going to have to determine where you are at in that matrix. And we'll go through each one, how you do that. And we'll look at both profitability for a stocker operation and a cow-calf operation, because they're going to be very different in terms of what system may be better suited for. But a caveat here is, again, I don't know necessarily where we're going to be in a particular matrix. You're going to have to kind of use your own judgment to figure out where that's at. And as we've seen on some of the past presentations, even the literature doesn't really have a firm grasp on this. It's kind of all over the board. All right, so for the stocker profitability, I'll go through the assumptions here quickly. So for continuous grazing, we're going to have a base of 1 calf per acre. We're going to have a gain of 1.5 pounds per day over 200-day grazing season. And the net profit per head is going to be $100. And I just adjusted the buy price to essentially hit that $100 target. That's probably on average what most people hope for. When we get to rotational, so first of all, I'm going to compare continuous rotational, then rotational to mob. So what we're talking about here is all continuous versus rotational. We get to rotational, we're going to need additional labor, additional fencing, water. We're going to assume a higher stocking rate, and again, it's going to be matrix form, so we'll look at anything from 10% increase to 100% increase. And we'll also look at variable animal performance. What I mean by that is, I'll have the matrix laid out so that that average daily gain can decrease or increase from the base 1.5. Now, quick note here, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but just if you're wondering in terms of the actual model for the Stocker Enterprise, everything adjusts automatically. But in other words, assuming if we have a higher gain, we're going to end up with, over 200 days, we're going to end up with an animal that's higher in weight. It's the sale weight is, or the sale price is automatically adjusted. I've got a price slide in there just based on historical averages. It also accounts for pasture costs, even fencing, water infrastructure. So the higher the stocking rate, the higher profit per animal we're going to have because we're allocating fewer acres per animal. And it includes other costs we'll adjust automatically, like mineral. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. This, if we need to answer questions later on, I can go back to it. I'm trying to highlight key things here in yellow. This is essentially just looking at the difference in labor comparing a continuous versus rotational. So up at the top, here I'm assuming, this is just one example, I'm assuming 25% increase in stocking rate. So we've got 50 calves on 50 acres using continuous system, 63 on the rotational system. I'm valuing labor at $15 an hour. Going down in the yellow here, I've got rotational and continuous. So for rotational, in this example, I'm assuming that we're going to move animals every day. So the 1.0, that's days between paddock moves. The next yellow down, that's how much time on a per hour basis that each paddock move is going to take, half an hour. Some people claim they do it quicker, but I don't know how they do it, if they're going to walk or drive. That's probably on the low side, I would argue. Other time, that's on a per week basis, half hour additional time. Compared to the continuous grazing, where I'm just assuming about 1 hour per week we're spending there. So when you look at that, I should have highlighted these also, but the total in terms of time, again, valued at $15 an hour, we've got about $34, and that's on a per acre, per year basis for rotational, for labor. And if we look at continuous, it's about $8, about $9. We're interested in the difference between the two, which is about $25. So bear in mind, that's just one example in terms of where it could be. This sheet essentially look at additional infrastructure costs we're going to have with rotational grazing. I'm not going to go through details, but I'd argue this is kind of a bare bone in terms of increased costs. I've got post, polywire, a charger, a water tank, miscellaneous water pipe that we can put above the ground, et cetera. Again, I would argue this is probably bare bones. But if we look at this, and we also are including interest on our capital here at 6%, if we include depreciation on a per-year, per-acre basis, and interest on a per-acre, per-year basis, we end up in the bottom right corner of about $5 per acre per year of additional infrastructure costs. Again, that will vary dramatically. I would probably argue that's a bare bones right there in terms of cost, additional cost per acre. Now, in this example, if we combine the two, so we've got labor and equipment, and again, this is the example where we have 63 head stocker cattle move daily. We have about $26 in increased costs compared to continuous grazing on our labor, another $5 on equipment, or about a total of $31 per acre per year of increased costs. Again, that will vary dramatically, and we'll look at some realistic range here in a minute. So here are the ranges on labor. The big thing with labor costs is the more head we run on a per head per acre base, the quicker that's going to go down. So in our example, we're, around $31 in that range. That can easily get down to $10, even $5 if you're running enough head. In other words, it doesn't take you a whole lot longer to move 200 cattle versus 10 cattle. You still have to go out there and do that. So that's why that cost will vary so dramatically. Equipment shouldn't vary as much, although we know a lot of people have a tendency of spending money on things they probably really don't need. That range is probably more realistically $3 to $20 an acre, or a total range of $8 to $70. Huge range here, right? And so we're going to look at essentially what if it's on the low side, medium side, high side, how does that affect profitability? All right, so I'm going to explain this. I'm going to spend a little time on this slide just because we're going to look at it a few times. This is for the stocker operation, again, in matrix form. This is an example where we have $10 increase cost on a per acre basis here. So again, kind of on the low side of what we looked at. Now looking at the two axes, on the left-hand side, we have increase in stocking rate, again, from 0 to 100%. On the top, we have change and daily gain. So in the middle there, you have zero. So essentially, that's no change from the 1.5 pounds per day. If we move left, we decrease our gain. So decrease 1/10 of a pound, 1/4 pound, and then 1/2 a pound. And going right, the same figures, but in the plus direction. So essentially, hopefully, this will pretty much hit any scenario we have. All we have to do now is change what are those additional costs. If they're not $10, we'll look at $25, we'll look at $50. Now, to give example here, what if we're in a situation that we're increasing our stock rate about 25%? Look like, based on your literature search, that was probably in that range. In this case, we're assuming we're not having any change in that daily gain. So what that $30 means, essentially, in that case, assuming our costs were just $10 per acre higher compared to continuous grazing, we'd have an increase in profit of $30 per acre in that situation. Now, as we decrease gain, as we move to the left here, so here we're at 1.4 pounds a day, that profit is mostly gone at that point. We go down from $30 to $7. And if we lose a lot more, if we go down 1/4 of a pound, all of a sudden we've more than lost our profit. We're in the hole about $30 compared to continuous grazing. That is probably the key point. Animal performance is so important with a stocker operation. Now, I know that our forage quality can be higher. I've seen it. But I also know that if you try to push animals too much, in other words, making them clean up too much with the rotational grazing, you can easily lose 1/4 pound, easily. So that's an important point there. Now let's go back to that base. So again, here's 25% increase in stocking rate where we don't have any loss in gain or addition. The only change here is instead of $10 per acre increase in total cost, we've gone to $25 or $15 increase in cost from the previous example. So we had $30 increased profit, we dropped to $15. And if we had a really high cost operation, $50 increase, then we're in the negative again there. So again, you can have decent performance, you can increase your stocking rate, but if you're not careful about those costs on a per acre basis, you can still be in worse condition than if you're just out there continual grazing. So management has a big key to this. It's not just continuous versus rotational. There's a lot of management implications in between. All right, so kind of a summary of the stocker enterprise. Again, animal performance has a huge impact. And even if we cannot have a large profit increase by essentially having any loss in animal performance. We may have a small profit increase, but if you go back and look at those matrices, you're not going to have any significant profit increase if we lose much performance. And then the last caveat there is essentially, that's also assuming you keep those labor and equipment costs at a manageable level. Okay, so now let's go to the cow-calf analysis. Again, we're still comparing continuous rotational here. So base assumptions for continuous are 2 acres per cow, which is probably typical in Kentucky, probably in Missouri, I'm assuming, on a decent operation. We're going to have 200 grazing days for continuous. Same as with the stocker, we're going to have additional labor, fencing, and water infrastructure in the same type of format. Now, in terms of the benefits, I've looked at this a few different ways. Initially, I looked at, let's kind of do the same as with the stocker. We'll increase our stocking rate. I tried that. The problem that you have here is you open a whole can of worms that you don't want to get into, because once we assume that, we need to assume calf prices. We need to assume, are they making a profit? If they're not making a profit to begin with, then we increase stocking rate, we may be just losing more money. So what I settled on, for better or worse, is we're going to assume we're going to keep stocking rate the same, but what we're going to do is with the increased forage production, essentially we're going to graze longer into the fall and winter, so we're going to reduce our hay cost to some degree. Now let me explain how I did this, and I probably should have called some of the other people on the committee to make sure I was doing this right, but just based on my experience with stockers, I'm assuming that all the forage that we produce up to about June 1st, kind of after about the time we're through the flush, is if we don't eat at that time, it's probably going to be pretty much wasted. It gets bushhawked down, or it's just poor forage quality. So I'm just assuming everything from June 1st on, whatever additional growth we get from rotational grazing, that's essentially what we're going to decrease our hay feeding costs by. A lot easier to model. So you've seen this before. I've just changed a few numbers. So these are additional costs. So we've got, I'm assuming, a kind of typical herd size of about 30 cows. Here we're not going to do it quite as intensely. We're just going to move every second day with a cow-calf operation. Net effect, and we're going to do this on a per-cow basis in this case. So we're increasing our labor cost by about $18 per cow in this example. Equipment, everything's identical there. We just have fewer animals that we're moving. So our total per animal goes up a little bit here. That's at $9 per animal. So again, in this example where we have 30 cows we're moving every second day, we have a total combined cost of about $27 per cow. Again, that will vary substantially depending on how many animals, how often you're rotating, etc. We have a few additional things here. This is actually something I incorporated in that stockpiling model that Rob provided data for. But here, so we're comparing the grazing versus grazing, but now we're going to have a new situation. That's when we get to those additional grazing days, we're going to be comparing grazing versus feeding hay. So we have to see how that difference is. Basically, I build in tractor time, the value of that tractor in terms of depreciation, overhead. I won't go through the details here, but essentially with this example, our cost per day for grazing is about 20 cents. Now that doesn't have anything to do with the forage, that's just our labor involved with that. Versus feeding hay, it's about 29 cents, or about an advantage of 10 cents for grazing. So we'll account for that. We also need to account for fertilizer value of hay, because essentially we're importing hay to our grazing system and we have some type of value there. Now, my assumption here is we're getting about 50% recycling of the P and K, nothing in terms of nitrogen during wintertime. With just flat 50 cent per unit prices, that's about 14 cents per day that we'll essentially credit to the hay feeding operation. When you look at it all here, just in yellow, assumptions here is that we're going to get, in this example, we're going to have a 50% increase in yield from June 1st on versus continuous grazing. We're going to utilize 80% of the extra forage to give us those extra grazing days. Hay's priced at $60 a ton. And then the dropping down to the yellow here, these are summarizing the overall costs and benefits. So we've got $1.03 in hay costs. We've got 10 cents in additional feeding labor. But then we subtract off 14 cents for that fertilizer credit, or about a buck a day total hay feeding costs compared to grazing. We multiply that by our extra grazing days, in this example, 93 in gray. Subtract off the $25 in increased cow costs. And then we have a net savings over feeding hay, in this example, $67. That feeds into this next table where you see it highlighted in yellow here. Now, again, let me explain this table. So on the left-hand side, we have increased forage production, again, going from 10% to 100%. Up at the top, we have increased cost per cow, just like we had in the stocker operation. Give you an example here. So if we expected a 10% increase in forage production, our cost per cow increase was $25. We would be about $7 lower in terms of profit versus compared to continuous grazing. Now, as we increase that forage production, so let's assume we're in that 25% range, which sounds like we're probably more realistic than that. All of a sudden, we're doing quite a bit better. We've got a $21 profit compared to continuous grazing. And if we can really get a lot of extra forage production, which may be pushing it, we're doing a whole lot better. We're at $67 per acre profit above continuous. Another example here, so I guess what I want to point out here is even if we have just a 10% increase in forage production, if we can keep our per cost on a per cow basis low, we're still going to make a profit there versus continuous grazing. But again, that's assuming we're a very efficient operation. We're probably not moving super often, and we have enough cows to make that manageable. So a kind of summary of the cow-calf enterprise, a small increase in forage production can increase our profits, total profits, assuming that we can keep our labor and additional fencing costs, et cetera, at a reasonable level. All right, now we get to mob versus rotational grazing. This is where I kind of threw up my hands a number of times and was just trying to figure out how on earth do I model this. So short answer is I didn't do it very well. So let me say that ahead of time, and we'll talk about why. I see Rob laughing there again. I'm not quite sure why, but all right, so we'll do the same thing. We'll look at a stocker enterprise versus cow-calf enterprise. Start with the stocker. Here, we're just assuming that we're I don't know if you want to call again super duper high density, whatever, I don't care, but we're just assuming we're going to move the cattle more often. And so if we're doing daily with rotational, we'll move twice a day with mob, and if we move, you know, we'll just kind of go from that. We're going to have higher labor requirements. Our material costs aren't going to change because we're assuming, you know, we can get by in the same kind of rotational supplies we did before. The big key, though, is that animal performance in the stocker operation. You know, what can we realistically expect with the mob grazing approach versus that rotational? So that's where I have the most question marks. This is the grazing difference between the two. So you've seen this before. So here with the mob, I'm assuming we're moving twice per day versus rotational, we're moving once per day. If you look at in the yellow, those are the total costs on a per acre basis of mob versus rotational. So you see those mob costs get up there really quickly if we're moving twice a day. In this instance where we have 50, so again, we have 50 calves in the rotational, 63 in the mob, so we're assuming we're increasing our stocking rate by 25% there. So 64 with a mob, 34 with a rotational, or a difference of $30 in additional cost per acre on the mob grazing system. Now, I want you to notice something here, and I should have done this before, even when we showed continuous versus rotational. So what I'm going to do is we're going to change the total number of animals. So here we're at 50. We're going to double it now. What I want you to notice is how those cost differences go down real quick. So here we're doubling it. Our costs for both mob and rotational have been cut in half. But look at the difference now. So that was 30. That difference is 15 now. So the more animals we add, the less of a problem we're going to have on those costs for mob grazing. If we double that again, we're down to about $7 or $8. So really, we're getting at a point where those costs aren't that different between rotational and mob, or at least we can manage that type of level. All right, so give you another example here. So this is, if we assume that we can, I'm assuming we're going to have some type of reduction performance. I don't think there's any way we're going to have an increase in performance, just a question of how much. So we'll start with a tenth of a pound reduction going from rotational to mob, and we're going to have a 25% increase in stocking rate. In that case, we would have a positive profit, not a lot, but it is positive. If we have a quarter pound reduction in gain, even if we had a 50% increase in stocking rate, we're essentially at our break even. Now, again, you guys are the ones answering this, but I'm not quite sure how we're going to have a 50% increase in stocking rate on a stocker operation, especially where the mob grazing that I'm hearing about, they trample half that vegetation in the ground. That's stuff that we can't utilize, right? So I just don't know how on earth we would even get close to 50% increase in stocking rate, at least for stocker operation. Even if we did, there'd be no profit there. And then let's say we have a half a pound decrease in gain, which I firmly believe could be a valid situation based on what I've seen. Do you see any positive numbers there? None. We can't make it up, even if we have 100% increase in stocking rate. You're still way in the hole there. So again, important point here is animal performance and stocker operation has a huge impact. I just don't see how you're going to do it with a mob type operation, at least the type of mob mob grazing I'm thinking of here. I just don't see how it can work. All right, now let's go to the cow-calf, and it changes here quite a bit. So here again, we're just going to have increased management, so we're going to move cattle more often. And because of that, we're going to have higher labor costs. So this is the same matrix you saw before for the cow-calf operation. Same type of assumptions. If we increase that forage production, we're just going to utilize that to have less hay feeding days. Now, what I want you to see here, so what is highlighted in green now essentially are all the positive numbers, right? These are the cases where actually mob grazing would be more profitable compared to rotational grazing. But this has one huge assumption here. And that huge assumption is we're still getting an 80% utilization of the extra forage for these cow-calves, which, according to my observation of the mob grazing, I don't think you're going to do that. Again, they talk about kind of stomping half that in the ground, so I don't think that's realistic. So what if we change that? What if we go to a 60% utilization of excess forage? We still have a lot of positive numbers there. They're all the amount of the positive increase is reduced. We actually have one cell that's negative that wasn't before. But that's still assuming we're getting that same utilization kind of in that forage before that point also. So I guess what I'm saying here is I just don't know really how to model this fairly because we're not really comparing two systems that are easily comparable. Again, that mob grazing, we're just wasting a lot of that forage, which I say waste. You know, they claim it's, you know, long run, it's probably very good for the soil to have that. How I model it, I'm not so sure. So I would definitely take these numbers with a grain of salt here. Again, I don't think I have modeled the mob grazing properly. I think that just there's a lot of what I take out of this. There are a lot of questions that need to be answered here with mob grazing before I can really do this in a fair way. But if we try to summarize it, as long as we don't let that utilization get too low, if it does look like if we get a 25-50% increase in forage production, it may be profitable with a cow-calf operation, maybe with the caveat that we have a lot of cows that we're moving, so we get that per cow increase in labor at a reasonable level, though. The biggest thing here is, again, it really brings out more questions than it answers with a mob. So, you know, how much extra forage production do we get with the mob grazing? And probably just as importantly, maybe more importantly, what is that utilization? Because if we get a lot of production, but that utilization drops considerably, we're not going to see that benefit. Again, I assumed still 60% utilization, but there's, according to what I've seen, that probably is quite a bit higher than we should have. All right, I'm going to go through this real quickly because I want to leave a little time for questions here. There are other benefits to just management-intensive systems, manure distribution. I actually will have a slide on that. I'll go through it real quickly. What I call cattle disposition, you know, we're handling the cattle, we're moving, so they're going to be, you know, they're just going to be easier to work with, potentially improve health. These are all hard to model. The manure I can do a little bit. I really can't spend much time on this. I'm just going to show you the end results. Oh, shoot. No, I took the end results out already. Basically, what I assume is if we increase from 50 to 60% effective utilization of manure, which is 20% relative increase, that's the number we'd most... In other words, we've increased 20% our manure distribution. On a 1,200-pound cow, that's about $12 of fertilizer for 200-day grazing season. So that is, you know, definitely has a positive impact. For stocker, you know, cut that in about half, $6 per head, roughly. There are other costs to management-intensive grazing. As I've found out this last year, you get water leaks. If you're on county water like I am, you can lose most of your profits right there in a couple days that you didn't know about. Maybe even more important, luckily I didn't have this, but if we have some type of failure in our water system, you know, over a couple days, that will reduce our animal performance, and we could even lose animals. Potential for inadequate shade. In other words, we're confining in small areas. There's probably effect on animal performance there. We're getting better manure distribution, but I would argue we're probably not getting as good animal performance. Hard to model all these. Quick summary, stocker systems are probably, it's probably going to be hard to really have a real intense system in terms of mob grazing and have it profitable compared to continuous or even rotational with mob grazing. Those really intense forms of management are probably better suited for the cow-calf operation. So with that, I've got a little bit of time for questions.